Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, the podcast that explores the meaningful intersection of sport and faith. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now on our brand new Sport Faith Life YouTube channel, where you can watch full episodes as we dive deeper into how Christianity and sports connect. If you're enjoying the show, head over there and hit subscribe or drop us a five-star review on your favorite podcast platform. As you may know, the World Cup is coming to North America. The men's FIFA World Cup arrives in North America starting in June 2026, and it's going to be massive, with an estimated 5 billion people watching the world's most popular sport. Today in the show, we have Heather Reddy, who grew up playing and loving soccer, and now in her own large family, plays and loves soccer. Heather and her team at Athletes in Action really had a tremendous vision. Use soccer and the World Cup as an avenue to bring the gospel into every corner of the world. Their initiative is called Victory Beyond the Cup, and it's all about loving your neighbors while refocusing the passion of the World Cup on Jesus. Victory Beyond the Cup is making available 25,000 World Cup watch kits and an endless number of virtual watch kits, and it's all completely free to anyone who wants to host a World Cup watch party. We're really excited to talk to Heather about this project and to figure out how we can get a kit. So let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have Heather Reddy with us today on the Sport Faith Life podcast. Heather, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Yeah, well, I actually grew up playing soccer. So started playing when I was young and actually God used sport in my life in a really crazy way. But I ended up playing in college at a small school, Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, and then got married, have six kids, and almost all of our kids have played soccer. So we are a soccer family, and it is very prominent in our life. And I also work with professional athletes who play soccer. So it is, yes, it's all encompassing.
So soccer is a big part of your life. That's great. We'll be able to explore that in just a minute. Thanks for sharing. Tell us a little bit about faith in your life.
Yeah. Well, I actually grew up in a Christian family. And so, at a young age, actually prayed to receive Christ. And it was really, and this is where actually soccer came in, as I would say, really like continued to grow my faith. But soccer was always kind of competing for that first spot in my life, I would say, where it was really like that was what kind of I was aiming for, wanted to play D1. And the summer before my senior year in high school, I tore my ACL, which was really devastating at the time. And, but that was when the Lord really used that to show me just how, if I'm being honest, soccer was an idol. Like everything, all my energy, effort was going into it. And I remember sitting there thinking, and I was like, Lord, you are either worth following and you're not. Because I'd been following you up to this point and like, look what it got me, a torn ACL, dream dashed. And, but I also looked back and I was just like, I can't deny what he has done in my life up until this point. And so I'm like, okay, I'm all in, like, let's go. And so it has been, you know, just as we all are on a journey of continuing to know and grow in my love and knowledge for him. And then it's just been fun to now be at a place where getting to journey with women who are also playing the sport and figuring out what does it look like for their, like, to integrate their faith. And I feel like the big thing now, and even for me, I feel like what the Lord is continuing to do in my life is just continually to root my identity in him. It's like, and so, you know, it's, you think I'm like, oh, I thought I had that covered when I was 18. And it's like, oh no, that continues to come back. So it's like that continual of the Lord, just continually to rooting in of like, my identity is deeply rooted in him. And when I live out of that, like I can show up with confidence. I show up in peace, able to just be fully present with people, all because I know like who I am and what he's done and what he's done for me.
So Heather, that identity question comes up a lot in Sport Faith Life, and we revisit it over and over, just like you. So thankful for your story. And also for being with us on Sport Faith Life today. Thanks so much for being on. I was about to ask you something unique about you, but you led with six kids. Six kids. Okay, there's maybe something else, but first tell me, like, give me that age range, boys, girls, six?
Yeah, six. We do have six, I know. And it keeps us on our toes. It's so fun. I'm like, I call it organized chaos because that's what it is. So we have 23 down to 8. And so we have one who just graduated from college, two who are in college and currently playing soccer, one in high school who's our musical, like loves musical theater, and then our two boys who also love soccer. So we have four boys and two girls.
Great. Now, okay, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about you to help have our listeners get to know you a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, I love being active still. Like, I think there's still something in me that's just like, I feel like I can compete. And I do have this, like, I don't know if this is being an athlete, but where it's just like, I kind of feel like anything I try should be really good at when it comes to athletics. And then I am also proven wrong again and again. And so I do, so like, whether it's pickleball or tennis or just name the sport. And I'm like, I am here for it. Like, let's go, and still have that competitive streak in me. But I would just say, like, still like love being active with my family. And so we get out and just, you know, whether it's walking, running, going to parks, like, I just think anything that we can, granted being in Florida really helps. So I think just, we love being outside. And if I had to choose between beach and mountains, I would 100% go mountains every single day. So even though I live in Florida, my prayer is that someday maybe God will call us to Colorado and I can live there. So,
well, I'm with you on mountains over beach. My wife would disagree. So she gets the vote.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would just encourage you to keep at it with your family. One of the things that I've loved to do is, as my kids have gotten older, we continue to play lots of different things and compete. And you've got, you know, 4-on-4 built into it, right? You've got quite a setup that you can probably play your entire lives, which is fantastic. So You mentioned soccer.
Yes.
And you have an affinity towards soccer. The family has a lot of love for soccer and a lot of knowledge about soccer. And it kind of is what brings you to the podcast today. Can you give us a little bit of a background on what you're into right now so that our listeners can get to know, like, what's happening here?
Yeah. Well, the World Cup, which is one of the biggest sporting tournaments in the world, is coming to North America, June 11th through July 19th. And so when, you know, we knew that it was coming to North America, we just kind of thought, we're like, gosh, being a part of Crew, so I work with Crew and Athletes in Action, I just thought, I'm like, we need to do something. And as believers in general, like, we need to do something around this event, because this only comes, honestly, like, once in a lifetime type opportunity. And so as we thought about it, we thought, gosh, what would it look like to equip believers to have spiritual and gospel conversations around the World Cup in really non-threatening ways? And so we've created these kits, they're free, to help people have those conversations, to really, and what we're really praying, we're honestly praying for 100,000 believers and 10,000 churches to engage in victory beyond the cup. And the goal is to help people feel equipped to have those conversations and also feel expectant that God's going to move during the World Cup and that people are going to come to know him. But more importantly, that believers now feel confident to share their faith long after the World Cup. We're just utilizing a moment in time that is a massive moment. I mean, 5 billion people will be watching. So it's like, we got to take advantage of this. You know, that's 3/4 of the world population. It's multiple games a day for over, it's like 39 days. So you think of the Super Bowl as like one, you know, one day, one night, and that's massive. You know, we party, like, people, you know, you invite people over. And so now you think you have 39 days, multiple games to say, hey, come on over to my house. Let's have, you know, let's cook some food. Let's watch this game. And let's trust the Lord that he's going to do something during that time.
This is a massive undertaking, right? I mean, you're setting up something for this moment, to capture the moment. Mm-hmm. There are other moments, and I'm sure your ministry is doing things around those things as well. But the scope and the size of this moment, right? You talk about globally, how many people are going to be impacted by watching at least some part of the World Cup. I mean, it's just, it's hard to fathom that many people. And it's hard to believe that anything else could be quite so popular globally. I'm curious, sort of from a ministry perspective, like, how long does it take to plan for something like this? Or, like, what's the on-ramp towards this particular programming for this moment?
Yeah, so we have, we've been planning, I mean, it's been over 3.5 years. Once the last Men's World Cup 2022 in Qatar, we really, even actually prior to that, it was that fall of 2022 that we really launched and we're like, we need to start thinking about this. And we created, you know, team, like strategy teams, and we've tested the kits. And so it has been a long process of just, again, like, and the reason why, like, we tested them even is because we wanted to make it as easy as we could for people to engage with this and for it to really be what people needed when it came to having spiritual conversations. So we have really worked hard to hear from people, hear from pastors, hear from ministry leaders, hear from just people and other believers of like, what do they need to have, to feel confident to have some of these spiritual conversations. And so it has been, a little over three and a half years we've been working on this.
So, yeah, and you've got me really curious as to what you've come up with, because I know you've done a lot of research. You did a lot of work, legwork to try to pull this together. Mm-hmm. You ended up with a pretty succinct product in the end here, right? Something that is pretty manageable. It's a kit. Mm-hmm. Perfect kit, right?
Yeah.
Soccer kit. And I'd love to know, really, and maybe you don't want to reveal all of that, but you talk about meaningful conversations, connect across cultures, and share the hope of Christ. Pick one of those and tell me, something that I might find in the kit that makes this doable, easy for me, a useful tool for me to sort of bring out during the World Cup.
Yeah, I think of one of the things that we just were really excited about is called our Nations Book. And so you think about crossing cultures, and one of the things too I love about it is that we've said, we're like, you don't have to love the sport to be involved in this. But with 5 billion people engaged, I guarantee you there is somebody in your life that probably cares about the World Cup. So this is an opportunity for you to either like share your passion with others, or you get to experience other people's passion. And so this book that we've created is the Nations Book, and every country that is represented in the World Cup will be in it. There's prayer points in it. There's some fun facts. There's history, the World Cup history. And then there's a recipe from that country. And so that's the one that I just think it's like, hey, if you don't know anything about the game, which there actually will be some kind of soccer for dummies in there for those people who are like, I don't know anything about this. We want to give you a few points, that you can have a conversation around. But really, we're just saying, hey, cook some fun food from these teams that are going to be playing, throw the game up. And then we have some ways to have fun conversations as well. But the book is like a super, I feel like that one is really, we've gotten a lot of great feedback, positive feedback around the Nations Book.
So there's a little bit about culture then, right? Mm-hmm. As we're looking at, right, the 5 billion people obviously are, that will be engaging, are dispersed around the world. And it's a lot of different nations. It's kind of a fun way of connecting, right? The recipe cards. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about, so there's obviously all these positive things about cultures, learning about the nations of the teams that are represented at the event from around the world, could have a lot of positive outcomes and impacts, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about sort of managing some of the pain points related to the World Cup and its history, right? So thinking about like 2022, there was quite a bit of, a negative response related to human rights and the creation of the stadiums, the climate, mm-hmm. the way that the games were impacting the climate, that sort of thing. Move to 2026 now, and, the U.S. will be co-hosting with our neighboring nations, but we're in the midst of, I would say some rather unique, international relations or whatever else. The political climate is what it is. How do you sort of manage or navigate some of that in the midst of what you see as something that's bigger than soccer, bigger than politics, right? Bigger than 5 billion people watching.
Yeah, I think what this provides, honestly, is it's an opportunity to love our neighbors. Like that is like at the end of the day, I'm like, that's what it is it's being able to for us to like get out of our agenda, our busy life, and look at the people that God has placed around us and saying, I care about these people. And that's even one of the things we talk about. We have some videos, some like short trainings. And one is just, it's like that we would have God's heart for those around us. And so I just think it's like, what better way for as believers to enter in than to just love our neighbors? And I feel like that's what we need right now. It's like people need to know that they are seen and that we see them and that we love them. And this is like one of those simple ways. And so even with this kit, we're saying, for some people, they might think like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready to have a spiritual conversation with anybody. And we want to say, that's okay. Like, we want to train you so you feel that way. But maybe your first step that you're trusting the Lord with is just to invite somebody into your home and just have them over for a meal. Like, that's what we're asking. We're just saying, we're asking people to trust the Lord, like, humbly bring themselves before Him and say, Lord, what would you have for me during this time? And it's being able to see the people around them, their neighbors, their baristas, you know, their friends on their soccer team or their coworkers, and just saying, like, I just want to have you over into my home and you're going to get to experience Jesus through me. And that's like, I mean, I think that's like really the heart behind it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm a part of a group called Alpha, which is a nation, international, you know, evangelical series of videos, right? And the whole point is you bring people in, have some food, and talk about Jesus. Everyone that leads that sort of thing always feels ill-equipped to do that. And one of the things that in the training that we talk about so much is, like, don't answer all the questions. You won't be able to, right? You won't be able to answer all the questions, but engaging people in conversation. I imagine you have sort of a, at least in your mind's eye, a way that this might go, even though it'll probably cross a wide range of different, I would say, protocols, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will talk before. Sometimes people mm-hmm. will wait till halftime. Sometimes people will talk at the end. You've got this game going on. Like, yeah. How much do we pay attention to the game while we're doing this? So how much have you thought about how this might work and how you've prepared? Because it's more than come over for the game. You know, a lot of times there's a Super Bowl party and the food is out. People watch the game. They watch the halftime and, you know, go home. So it's more than that. Tell me how you kind of picture this working in a way that sort of meets some of the hopes, some of the expectations.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, I think, I think being strategic about what game you choose. So we've told people, if you love the sport, if you love soccer, and you're like, I am so excited to watch this team, well, maybe don't have people over on that day because you really want to watch the game. And so we actually do have in there like a card. We call it, where you can pray. We're saying, you know, who are the five people that the Lord has put on your heart? Let's be intentional and start praying for those people right now. And then we also have like, choose a game or choose a day that you want to host. So just thinking strategically about like, what day do you want to host on? And so I think for you, that's, you know, that's going to be different for anybody. But then, you know, what we've created even with the kit is really, we have in there, one, we have a size 1 soccer ball. So there are different sizes of soccer balls. This is a small one. It has a QR code on it. And on there is a way, when you scan that, there's just fun questions. And those will take you for as like shallow or as deep. And I think, I just imagine like tossing that around. And again, it really depends. This is where I think, we want to trust the Lord in terms of like the people you're inviting over. Like for some, this could be, we are just getting to know each other for the first time. And so this ball is going to be like, you're tossing around and we're just asking some fun, get to know you questions that then after you leave, you're like, hey, this was really great. Like, let's do this again. And you've now just started that next step in the relationship. So I think that's one. Then there's, we have like they're called solarium cards, which are just, they're pictures. They're just cards with pictures on them that you can put out on your table that I would imagine would probably people be like, what is this? And again, depending on the size of your group, like if it's a small intimate group, even before or after the game, these pictures are such, and we have great questions that go along with them of like, you know, as you're sitting there having dinner and you're just kind of like let's throw out some questions like, oh, how was your, like, pick a picture of how your day was today or how your week was, or, and those questions again can go as deep as you want. And so we envision that as being like, they're really providing connection. And then that allows, like, as we're being good listeners, because I think that's so key, is like that we are listening, we're hearing what are people saying, that we then can take that and respond to it. You know, if there's something that kind of perks up and it's like, oh, I'm going to ask that question maybe later on that night, or I'm going to ask a question in regards to how they responded maybe the next day. And so I think what we're saying is like, we're not saying you stand up at halftime and you give a gospel presentation. If the Lord is leading you to do that, Man, go for it. Like 100%. I would say this is really, it's more in the relationals. Like we want you to get to know people and we want you to see like, where are they at? And so there's like some of those cards, I think the, especially the Solarium cards are ones that you can really dive in deeper with people. If you're like, man, we really know each other and we're just sitting around the table before the game starts. Like you can really have some incredible conversations about like, hey, where have you seen God in your life? Or have you seen God show up in your life? Like pick a picture that describes that. Or what do you wish, like, or what's a picture that best describe your view of God right now? And so those are things that I would imagine you're probably not going to have that conversation at halftime. Like, again, we're going to let you kind of figure that out. But it really is, I would say, we're really looking at those before and after, you know, before and after opportunities, as well as like long beyond this, you know, the game. Again, it's like we're really just trusting the believers, equipping them that this is, again, a moment that you are potentially just starting that relationship, continuing that, just planting seeds. Because I think at the end of the day, like we want people to walk away and be like, that was so fun. Like we just enjoyed being with you as, you know, and maybe that's the first like believer they've interacted with. And so we don't want to make it weird. You know, we want to make it is like, it's like, hey, come and enjoy. And we're going to be intentional. I think that's the big thing is like, we're going to be intentional with the people that God brings into our home, our apartment, wherever, our church. And so we really want to set you up to do that well.
Sounds like then your vision is that if somebody were to have like invite new people, again, from church, work, mm-hmm. whoever else into their home, you have a conversation, it leads to discussion about Jesus Christ, or at least loving, you know, developing a relationship built on love and trust, that's a win, right? That would be a win for you and a victory. Mm-hmm. And what you're mm-hmm. calling this is victory beyond the cup. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's multiple layers of meaning there. Can you talk about the title of this whole thing?
Yeah, as we thought about it, I just think the World Cup and any, you know, any tournament, any sporting tournament is you're going after that, as we, you know, as most people would say, that one victory. It's like you want to hoist the cup at the end. Like you want to be the last team standing. And I think, yeah, we hear again and again from athletes, it's like that in that moment, it is the most amazing thing. And the next day they wake up and they're just like, well, I just did it. Like, is that it? Like, I'm feeling kind of like there's got to be something more, you know, because it's like you've just achieved like everything you've ever dreamed of. And I've heard this from athletes. And it's like, but if you don't have Jesus, like, then there is this feeling of like, man, there's got to be something more to this. And so I think as we thought about victory beyond the cup is just, it's like that there is a lasting victory in Christ beyond, you know, what we see is this one, as people, 5 billion people are watching this tournament, you know, and they're thinking like, this is it. And their team, you know, is hoisting that cup in the end. But at the end of the day, they're still turning around. Like people who are watching, they're turning around and they're dealing with unpaid bills. They're dealing with illness. They're dealing with, you know, death. They're dealing with unmet expectations. And so in that moment, watching that game, that might feel like the best thing, but then they're facing very real life challenges. And so I think, you know, as we thought about it, it's like, we want people to know that there is, that in Jesus, in Christ, like you get to experience peace. You get to experience love, that there is something to meet you in those challenges that is going to carry you on beyond this one moment.
And what you just described, I think this whole huge effort would be worth it if those sorts of things happened. Mm-hmm. And it'll be impossible, really, to quantify those things. And I'm sure your heart is not to even do that, to quantify how that works. However, there's going to be some great stories that come out mm-hmm. of this. And I'm just wondering about a little bit of a feedback loop where some of this mm-hmm. gets back. And I'm guessing that somewhere in this kit mm-hmm. is an opportunity to either register, give stories back, provide some videos, something like that. Can you describe how you're kind of, if not measuring the impact, you're kind of giving opportunity for some of those stories to be told?
Yeah. So we will definitely, like, we have 25,000 physical kits available, and then we'll have the rest will be digital kits. And so, and in those kits, both physical and digital, there is an opportunity to, we love the QR codes, right? Scan the QR code and you will be able to share your story and give feedback, because I just think too, and we have this, we'll have social media going as well. We have Victory Beyond the Cup. social media. And so I just think, again, like what is encouraging is like when we hear and see what God is doing across the country and across the world. And so it just encourages us as believers, you know, it's when you're like, oh, I just saw somebody in California hosted an event and look at these great conversations. And I think that just bolsters confidence that it's like, oh, I can do that too. Like I can invite somebody over. And so that has been a very, yes, we have some very clear ways of, but it's all in the kit of to be able to receive that feedback, to be able to share stories. And we'll be also doing that on our social media account.
So Heather, we haven't been able to explore like your relationship with soccer quite yet, right? It's been great to hear about these kits. We'll hear more about those, but I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about that as well. And maybe the crux of this relationship between soccer and Christianity, Christian ministry, whatever you want to say. Brian and I talked a few years ago on a podcast about why Jesus might play soccer, right? If he was around today, why he might play soccer. And we had some really sort of goofy, shallow thoughts on that. One of those having to do with like Diego Maradona's hand of God, right? We use this religious reference to talk about this one like moment of cheating, if you call it that, this moment of something that was defying a lot of logic that was a seminal moment in a World Cup in the 1980s. What do you see, like as somebody that has experienced and loved soccer for probably about your entire life, you know, if you were to invite someone during a World Cup game over to your house and they said, why should Christians care about soccer? Or what's the relationship between these two things? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I think of the sport, and it's why even my husband and I, we transitioned over to Athletes in Action to do soccer specific ministry, was because we were just like, soccer is, I think, one of the most strategic sports globally. It is the one, it is the one sport where you can, it doesn't even have to be a real ball that you know, you put down anywhere in the world and you can have a game going in 5 minutes. You don't even have to have a real field. My husband and my two sons were over in Africa just recently, and they were playing on the street. You know, one of their good friends went with them, and they just playing in socks, and they had cinder blocks as goals. And you want to, those kids, they were all over it. And so when I think about soccer, what I think about is, I think about how Rome created the roads, you know, for their economic gain, but actually it took the gospel out to the world. And that is like what the sport of soccer is. Like it literally is our avenue into every country in the world to get the gospel out. And so that's why when I think about it and why is it strategic, I'm like, because it goes to every nation. Every nation loves this sport. And it's an inroad to have gospel conversations around something that people love. And I look at like, when I look around and I look at the stadiums that are full every, you know, especially when you look in Europe and I mean, really all over the world. And these stadiums are massive, massive stadiums. And fans are coming every weekend to watch these teams play. And it is, you know, their emotions, their like kind of rise and fall with the success of their team. And you just think, you have to wonder, it's like, gosh, if we all knew Jesus, you know, what like that, like, it's almost just like worship in a way, honestly. You know, we all worship something. And so, and I look at like soccer is one of those things that's easily a sport that is worshiped. And so, you know, with the amount of people that follow it, and you just have to wonder, it's like, gosh, what would be if all these people, you know, in turn worship Jesus, if that passion was, you know, was kind of refocused on Jesus. And so I just think, yeah, I just think the strategicness of the sport is incredible when you think about the gospel going forth across the world.
Yeah, very well put. And I think you identified the beautiful thing about the beautiful game is that everyone can play. It has such a low buy-in to get started. No sophistication needed, a couple of poles, and something that resembles a ball is all it takes. And of course, just like everything else in sport, it matriculates up into what was simple, into a very complex kind of system with a lot of money involved, a lot of politics involved, a lot of those sorts of things that repel us from sport. And yet, while that is happening, and we're drawn to that level of excellence, and you get 5 billion people that tune in, the game still exists in the backyards, in the open fields, on the street corner. And I think we can identify with it very, very quickly. So I think you've got us, you've centered the ball, and we really would love to know how to get our hands on these kits. So let us know what's the process here. What do we have to do to get a physical kit or a virtual kit?
Yeah, so you just have to go to victorybeyondthecup.com and you will be able to sign up for a kit. And so it'll be very obvious in terms of there is a button there and you just push that and it is a free kit. So we do have, I would say, while supplies last, because we have 22,000 English kits and we have 3,000 Spanish kits. And then we will have in the digital kit will also be in French and Portuguese. And so for those, your listeners are interested in that. And the digital kit just has some fun things in there as well as like soccer bingo and just other printables that you can print off. And so, but very much mirrors the physical kit. And so it is that simple of going on there and just signing up and you will get those kits mid-May. But in the meantime, we'll also be getting some emails that have some training videos, short, like 5-minute videos to watch to help you feel confident, you know, in sharing your faith. And we just encourage you to like, you can watch those on your own or you can do it with your community group or a group of your friends and have a discussion about it. But again, like wanting to make it really as simple and easy as you can to step into that space and trust the Lord with what he might do through your faithfulness.
Well, Heather, what a fantastic service. Really a great idea. And a lot of great ideas like this never get off the ground. And people think, we'll do it next time. We'll do it in 4 years, right? But you got it done. And these kits are up and ready. And people can just go get them, which is fantastic. And it's coming. Here it is in North America in just a few short months. So we're really excited to be able to hear about this. And I know our listeners will want to jump in and be a part of it as well. Thanks so much for all your work. Thanks to Athletes in Action. I'm sure the funding behind this is challenging to be sure, but it got done, which is fantastic. And it's free for people to be able to just give it a shot, give it a go. Yeah. Thanks so much. And thanks for coming on Sport Faith Life with us. It's been great to get to know you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.